Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Recently, Pope Francis approved changing the words of the Lord's Prayer. Instead of saying, "Lead us not into temptation," for Roman Catholics, the prayer now reads, "Do not let us fall into temptation." It is not a good translation because it speaks of a God who induces temptation. I am the one who falls. It is not him pushing me into temptation to then see how I've fallen, the Pope explained. Well, I'm sorry, Pope Francis. That's not quite right. And our gospel passage today proves it. And the Spirit immediately drove him into the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, we hear. Jesus Christ had just been baptized by John the Baptizer, and John's baptism was for the forgiveness of sin. And because Jesus was baptized, we can only conclude that he had sin. Not his own, to be sure, but sin nevertheless. And that is indeed the case, as Paul tells us. God made him who knew no sin to be sin. Jesus was being baptized a sinner because the world's sin, that is, humanity's mistrust and unbelief of God, was becoming his literally. And what is the only thing that can help a sinner? Well, a sermon of unconditional forgiveness, a promise that in spite of sin, God's mercy and grace is still given. And Jesus got such a sermon delivered by none other than the Father himself. "You are my son, the beloved. With you, I am well pleased," was Jesus' promise. That promise right there was the only thing given Jesus to hold on to know that God was for him and not against him. Because when Jesus looked around, he now saw himself as a sinner, born of a woman, born under the law, is how Paul says it. His experience, like the experience of every person, was now sin, death, and the devil. Tempted in every way we are, the writer of Hebrews says of him. And immediately, after getting his sermon, Jesus was thrown into the wilderness of temptation by none other than God the Spirit. How do you like that? And I'm sorry, but changing the words of the Lord's Prayer does not remove the offense. What are we to make of this? What are we to conclude? Well, two things. First, God in his sovereignty is deeply mysterious. God's actions are an enigma. In the Creed, we confess correctly that God is almighty and therefore capable of running his creation any way he chooses. So why he actively and passively rules in the manner he does is truly unknowable. And beware of those claiming to know the answer. At best, they're delusional. My point is, God's unconditional grace and mercy are not known for certain by his actions or inaction. And that leads me to the second thing. The only certainty anybody, even Jesus, has of God's grace and mercy is an unconditional promise from him of that grace and mercy. God does not lie. And when he gives you his promise of mercy, then you have an unassailable word to hold on to in a world that is by God's will hell on earth. And it is now that we can actually begin to talk about temptation. Temptation is not a little devil on your shoulder attempting to coerce us into things we know we shouldn't be doing. The evil one couldn't care less about our moral struggles. Our neighbor cares because they're affected by our weakness, but that's it. And Pope Francis is actually right here. When it comes to morality, we alone are the ones who are responsible for our failings. We are to blame. But that is not the real issue with temptation and sin. No, the devil is after the one thing that matters, the one thing that can actually save, and that is God's unconditional promise of grace and mercy. And so, he tempts. He tempts us to doubt, to mistrust God's promise by appealing either to our pride, to our despair, or both. "You're pretty good, you know. You're capable. You're a contributor. And so God's unconditional promise is beneath you. And depending on it for salvation is rather offensive. That's what the devil whispers. Or, you're a wreck, and there is no way God could ever forgive someone like you unconditionally, the evil one accuses. Either way, the attempt is made to silence God's promise. But it won't work. It won't work because God is almighty and he won't shut up. From the womb to the tomb, he trekked, taking, enduring the world's sin, that is, all the world's unbelief and mistrust. He took it all, meaning he died because we gave it our best shot. We killed God because we didn't believe or trust his promise of unconditional grace and mercy. But God truly is almighty. And when Jesus was resurrected, now well beyond our ability to shut him up anymore, he just kept preaching unconditional grace and mercy. And so we come to you this morning. God Almighty has decided to be your God. Baptism now saves you, Peter said, and you've been to the font. This is my body and blood given and shed for the forgiveness of your sin, Jesus said, and you go to the altar rail to feast. And I am here with the authority of Jesus Christ to declare to you that you are forgiven unconditionally by the Father for Christ's sake. That's your promise. It will never be taken from you. To hell with the devil and his lies. Amen.